have it Monday because we won't be here, so we decided we'd have it today. Let's all stand as we play our national anthem.
Page 429, you got your songbook. You don't know all the verses.
I blew it.
Abraham of the Republic.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
I have seen him in the watchfires of a hundred. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damp. I can read his righteous sin by the dim and flaring lamp. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Here God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Our national anthem played, and then we'll salute the American flag, and then Brother Pope will lead us in prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you this morning for our nation, for its history under God, founded as it was by men and women who came to serve you in freedom and in truth. We thank you for the many blessings that you have poured out upon our nation, for the prosperity, for its beauty, for its greatness, and we pray that you will continue to bless it and to bless us, that we may prosper and continue to enjoy the liberty and the freedom which we have had as a people for so many years. We thank you, O Lord, that you have made our nation a citadel of thy gospel, and that from our shores thousands and thousands of missionaries have gone to the ends of the world to take thy gospel to the regions beyond. We thank you, O Lord, that it was here in this land that our own movement emerged, and now throughout the churches and the denominations of our land, thy Spirit is being outpoured, and from this land, this truth has gone forth to the ends of the world, so that truly thy Spirit is being poured out upon all flesh. Lord, we know that it's not because of our greatness as a people, but because of thy Holy Spirit that these blessings have come. So we wish to thank you and praise you for these great things. We praise you that we have had such a great part in thy work through thy grace. So we thank you for this land, and we pray that you will bless our leaders, even in this hour of crisis, when there is a confrontation, and thy people who have been brought back from the ends of the world to the Holy Land are now threatened by great and powerful forces. Lord, we pray that you will help them in this hour and preserve them according to thy will and according to thy truth. And may our nation, O Lord, be blessed in all of this. And may we stand for what is right. Lord, we know that there are yet many things in our nation that could be better. And we pray, O Lord, that you will give us a spirit of repentance and a spirit of confession, a spirit to take a stand for what is right, a spirit, O Lord, to make what is unjust just. Grant us, O Lord, this spirit of repentance. Grant us, O Lord, this spirit of confession, that we might turn from what is wrong and turn to thee. We pray, O Lord, that even a greater revival may be sent upon our people and our nation, that we may truly be a nation under God that worships you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Lord, for all those men who have dedicated themselves to their country. We pray that you will bless and help them. And we pray, O Lord, that you will bless each and every one who has a loyalty in his heart to his nation and recognizes that it is a great gift from God to him and to her. Now we pray thy blessing upon this chapel and upon our school and all who participate in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My name is Cecil Pratt. I'd like to tell you a little bit about what it's like, the life in the service. And as I was asked to do this, my mind went back to, well, what's the first thing I can remember as being in the service? Well, the first thing I remember is being so lonely, I couldn't believe it. It was the first night away from home, knowing that I wasn't going to be home for quite a long while, and it wasn't my choice. You know, I mean, if I wanted to go home, I couldn't, because I was stuck. And next I remember in basic training, seemed like the Lord really tested my faith, because for the first two Sundays, I couldn't go to church. And then when I did go to church, there was some, I don't know, Lutheran or something, pastor, not to reflect anything on a particular denomination, but this poor guy, he was someplace way above our heads. And me being used to Pentecostal preaching, it was dry as a bone. So I went back that next week, about the middle of the week, and I said, Lord, I need help. And one evening, as I was in the shower, where nobody could hear me, I just poured my heart out to God. And he met me there. And the next Sunday when I went, the same fellow was speaking, but I gleaned some food out of it. The Sunday before, I didn't think it was there, but I found some. And I thanked the Lord for it. Then it seemed like when the Lord had got me in, you might say, into the right position, my heart towards Him, realizing that He was there all the time. I mean, really realizing. I mean, I knew it before, but I didn't really know it in my heart. And then I started seeing a few things happen around me, like one fella, great big guy. I mean, you wouldn't think he would be the guy, type of guy that he, might say, turned out to be. He came to me and started talking to me, and I found out that he was a backslidden, Assembly of God background. He just was in no way, sense of the word, living for the Lord there. He just decided, well, I got here in a service. He says, no way, you can't live for the Lord here. And another fella, Christian Missionary Alliance, Christian parents, man, it's impossible to live for the Lord here. Another fella, Baptist, Christian fella, held out for about 3 weeks and then decided to bag it. And this really shook me up. I thought, well, man alive. Especially after the Lord had really assured me that He was there. And here I see all these people falling away, and their faith is not standing. And I thought, well, man, there must be something more than just myself and the reason I'm standing. And, of course, there was. Letters from home indicated that the church would hold me up in prayer. My folks were holding me up in prayer, as well as relatives. And I think this is really important, to remember the service in prayer, because it is rough. There's very few men in the service that are really dedicated, that really come out and serve the Lord. Maybe later on, after basic training, and later on, they may come to the Lord or come back to the Lord. But basic training is really a rough time, because like we were told, if you're going to break, we want to know it here, instead of when you get out on some battle station someplace and break under the pressure there. And so you might say they kind of like tighten down the screws, like you feel like you're in a vice or something. And it's really a test of faith. I thank the Lord for it, though, because it became a ministry to these fellows. I could witness to them. I could say, well, hey, man, it's the Lord's there. He's going to help you if you'll just turn to Him and ask Him for help. Of course, these particular fellows didn't. There were some that did later on in tech school. And I became, you might say, a listening shoulder to cry on, so to speak. One fellow seemed like he just couldn't keep off the booze. And every Friday night was just really soused. But he looked to me as a source of strength to him. Even though he didn't know the Lord, he'd come to me whenever he was really down. Usually it was right after he'd been boozing it up, you know. Head big as a basketball, and he'd tell me his problems and his troubles, and I thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to help this fella in this way. I didn't have the privilege of seeing him to accept the Lord as his personal Savior. It seems like some of these fellows, they're steeled against it, but yet in the right place, the right person, maybe farther on down the line, another fellow someplace else. Maybe it was just the seed I planted. But yet God used me in a ministry there. And then it's a fantastic opportunity to meet people. I never met so many people in all my life after I was in the service. And that may seem kind of strange since I spent 3 years in Montana. There's not very many people in Montana. But beautiful place. And the Lord put me in 3 years in counseling at a kids' camp. And met all kinds of people there. And when I was in tech school in Illinois, met all kinds of people there. And when my brother went into the service, he went to the same base in Illinois and had the opportunity of meeting the same pastor, some of the same people that I had known. It was quite an experience to hear some of the things that he wrote back to me. But all in all, it was a real good experience, because the Lord really strengthened me and help me to trust in Him more. And I thank the Lord for the privilege, even though it had its bad times and everything, such as one time I ended up going to the correctional custody because of something happened while I was doing a favor for another fellow on guard. I should have never been there, but because I did the favor for this fellow, well, I ended up in hot water. But the Lord taught me things through that. and even though it was really rough, and I was never so scared in all my life as I was then. I mean, you have one guy you're supposed to be answering questions to, and the other fellow decides, well, he's going to ask you a few questions too at the same time, and you're supposed to be standing at attention and staring at one fella, and while he's trying to, another guy's trying to ask you questions. But the Lord was good to me, and I thank Him for it. And so next, Lowry Ahanan.
If there's something great, brave, and bold in this world, it is the Finnish army. We have a saying in Finland that one Finnish is as strong as 10 Russians. During the Second World War, we find that very true. Our country is only about 4 million people by population, and our great neighbor, Russia, is more than 240 million people, and we had war against them. But our general just gave an extra bullet for each soldier, and we were on our way to marching against the great, great Russian country and forward to this great city of Moscow. And we were doing just fine. They couldn't resist Finnish arm, and they began to cry help. And do you know what? They got help. They could, American friends came and helped them. And of course, we couldn't stand against Americans, so we made a peace with them. So, this peace was very bad for us. We lost one of most beautiful places in Finland called Karelia. And since that time, we haven't had war against Russians because we are afraid that they might call their good American friends to defend them. About 6 years ago, I had privilege to be in this great and bold army. But actually, it was more than a privilege. It was compulsory. Every man in Finland have to go army, whether he likes it or not. It's compulsory. But this armed service is only about 8 months for a ordinary soldier and 11 months for the, how you call it, an officer. I was there 12 months. Not because I like it to be there so much, but I served as unarmed. I didn't take the gun. But though I served as unarmed, I was not the weakest link in this army unit. I was as a clerk in an office. And I had a very powerful weapon, and it is this, a pen. You know, if a certain qualified person uses this weapon, the war is absolutely over. Of course, I mean the signing of the peace agreement. And this was my weapon, because I didn't like to shoot people to hell. It was difficult time for me to be in army as a Christian, unarmed fellow around those people who was pretty rough as Finnish soldier only can be. The pay in Finnish army, it is excellent. You maybe know how much income you get in Finnish army. It is excellent. It's 25 cents per day. At least it was that when I was there, but you know this new inflation and things, they have raised it up. It's about 40 cents or 50 cents nowadays, so it's quite good pay. But you can get board and room for this same money, and the food is really good. If you want to get fat, just go to Finnish Army. In spite of this fact, I had a very pleasant time in Army. About 3 days before I went to Army, Lord baptized me with the Holy Spirit. And that was really great help for me there. In the basic, or during the basic training time, I had not much time or the quiet place for the private devotion. But whenever I got time, I just prayed and spoke in new tongues with my God. And I got always blessed assurance that He is going to get me through. Those situations outside doesn't make much difference when the Spirit of the Lord is inside. Amen. Lord bless the great America.
I'd have to agree with Lori on perhaps the Finnish Army may be a little better than the American Army. I was just thinking he's mentioning this. We used to have alerts in Germany every now and then, and I belonged to a company that was mainly clerks and support personnel. We used to have troubles even finding the weapons room, let alone what we would do in case the Russians actually were coming. And so one day, one of the bright young clerks suggested to our CEO, why don't we just run up and grab the typewriters, we'd be a little more efficient. And he said, well, it really doesn't make too much difference because our tactics here is that not that we're any better than the Russians, it's just that they are worse than what we are. So we took a great deal of encouragement from that. As seeing as this is supposed to be a patriotic holiday, I was asked to speak a little bit concerning patriotism and the armed forces. About 2 years ago, in fact, almost 2 years ago to this month, I was in the Bavarian Alps in the city of Berchtesgaden, Germany. And I was up on the top of this mountain, and from this point I could see into Switzerland, into Austria, see Salzburg, and I could see up to the Bavarian foothills into the heartland of Germany. And on this hillside there was a retreat that was built by General Goering for Hitler. And it was called the Eagle's Nest, and Hitler used to go here. He didn't go too often. He spent several million dollars to build it, but he seldom went there. But he went there to feel elated, really, and to see what he considered was his, you know, the heartland of Deutschland, the Germans. And I began to think, when I was up there, about a concentration camp that I'd been to earlier. And it was a concentration camp in which Dietrich Bonhoeffer and several other prominent people in Europe had died. And I thought to myself, how could a German call himself a German knowing this history he has? And as I reflected about it, I began to think, how can I call myself an American? Is it, you know, by fact that I was born in America that I'm American? And I thought, are Germans Germans because they're born in Germany? Or is there something more to it? And I came to the conclusion that perhaps my Christianity and my Americanism weren't exclusive terms, but probably in reality should be one and the same. And from there, I began to see how the Germans, even though with their tainted World War II history, could still be Germans. Because to be a German and to be an American isn't particularly the past history, even though this is part of what it is, but it's something much, much deeper than that. And I never have been one to be a flag-waving patriot in that sense. But as I was thinking about this subject, I thought about our analogy as a church, as all of us being one body in the church, in the corporate body of Christ. And I thought, in the true sense, as Americans, we also belong to a corporate body. Though it may be temporal, it's still a corporate body. And just as in the church, where we have functions that we must perform, each of us must perform, I think so it is in America. We are Americans, and we do have functions to play. And as I thought about it, as a Christian, we are admonished by Paul to support the government And even though he doesn't say, thou shalt be a patriot, but I got to thinking, this is what Paul is talking about. We aren't at times Christians and other times Americans. We're at any given point both at the same time. We are Christian Americans. And I believe this is how we should view it. And we should look into the areas that God has ordained to us as Christians, but also we should look into the areas God has ordained for our lives as Americans and fulfill these roles. I was just thinking about the general elections in November, and I was reflecting, I wonder how many Christians will be voting. You know, such a small task, but maybe an important task, a function of being American, a function of being a patriotic American. And also, as I thought in history about the Reformation in Germany and how really, in a sense, our Protestant churches are so much centered from this country, how much so are our churches, as Brother Pope was praying, should be thankful for the country God has placed us in. I don't see it as an accident in any way, but God has placed us, has placed the Assemblies of God, the thrust of evangelism from this country. He has so ordained a country where the gospel can be spread throughout all the world. And so again, another reason to be patriotic. And I'm very, very much aware that probably patriotism, at least in our generation, is not a popular type of thing, especially maybe a traditional belief in patriotism. But I was thinking back on the Vietnam War was going, as I was in the army, though I wasn't over there, I was in Germany, and it seemed like almost weekly there would be headlines about riots concerning the war. There'd be articles about those who were fleeing the draft and going to Canada, or were standing trial, going to jail, and on and on and on. And I began to reflect, too, in this area on whether we can say, because a man has been in the service, he is patriotic, or because a man is in a demonstration against a war, if he is not patriotic. In the sense of our country, in its totality, I think we have the obligation to follow our own conscience. If we as Christians would be very much against a war, then perhaps it would be our responsibility not to destroy, but to make known what we believe. And I got to thinking, why couldn't this not be as much as a patriotism as anything else, trying to improve the nation in the best way you see, not by violence or force, but by freedom of expression. And I think if we could view patriotism also on this level, and if our non-Christian compatriots could also view patriotism on this point, perhaps we have a great deal in common, because our goals are the same, to have the best possible nation. And of course, for us, the best possible nation would be a Christian nation. And I found this poem, which is, there was not even an author for it. And I think it sort of sums up maybe the ideas of patriotism concerning America. I am your country, and I'm more than a cloth of white and blue and red. I am what you are, for you make me what I am. I'm your belief in yourself. I'm your dreams. I'm your pride, and I'm your shame. I'm the battles of yesterday, mistakes of tomorrow. I'm a burner of a draft card, the agony of a race riot. I'm the mystery of men who do great things and know not why. I am the symbol of freedom, the smirk of the cynic. I am the cry of fear, the shout of courage. I am what you make me, nothing more.
Our veterans go all over the world in many capacities and positions. And a Christian serviceman is a missionary unto Christ. And I believe that God sets men in the service and sends him out to different lands and different places to be missionaries. I would like at this time that all of our veterans in our congregation please rise and we'll give due honor unto them. Bob will lead us in America the Beautiful as we all stand, and then Brother DeBach will close in prayer.
Song number
433. Oh, beautiful.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for all of the great heritage which brings us to this point in time. Our Lord, we are mindful that America is beautiful only because we have made it to be beautiful. And because there have been those down through the ages of our history who have been willing to fight for such beauty. Father, we thank Thee for a land of plenty, for a land of abundance, a land of comforts, for peace today on our borders. But we recognize that one of the major reasons we have not been called upon to fight on American soil is because veterans have staved off the enemy of our kind of freedom across the seas. So we thank Thee today, O Lord, for those whose blood has literally bought for us the privilege of national survival down to this point in 1973 in Your plan of the ages. We praise Thee for our current opportunities to worship Thee and to serve the One who willingly shed His blood too, that we might survive the enemy of our soul. Almighty God, this morning, we recognize that it is in Your hands that lay the destiny of nations and each individual on earth. We ask today for a speedy armistice in the Mideast war, a meaningful ceasefire with a minimum of additional casualties. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, recognizing the global significance and sensing somehow an eternal significance to this particular battle involving Israel. We pray for their peace as though the fighting were at our doorstep and not afar off, for the pursuit of happiness and domestic tranquility cannot ignore historic events leading to the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our coming King. We sense that we are in the last days of time itself. Even now, while our eyes admire autumn leaves which turn red, desert sands are turning red with human blood of warriors in Israel. O Lord, we commit ourselves anew and afresh to Thee today and to this great fellowship of the redeemed of all ages. We would ask that You would come and make us into what You would have us to be. Give us, Holy Ghost, boldness to proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that makes a people free that will believe in it. We thank Thee, O Lord, for our heritage, but we pray that from this point forward we might be at our best to do Your bidding, whatever that would be. Move in our hearts, O God, by Thy Holy Spirit, we pray. Grant us a sense of responsibility as citizens of a great and blessed nation. Help us always to move as though we walk with the mantle of God upon our shoulders. And now, Father, for all veterans today, we would give Thee thanks and ask that You will be with those who are in the hospitals as a result of the war in Vietnam and Indochina. It is difficult today for us, even at this late hour, to assess the significance of that war, but we do know that there are those who still suffer, families who still suffer because of it, and we would ask that You will be with them Draw near to them and bless them at this time. O Lord, now we commit ourselves to Thee. May this day be a greater day because we've begun it in Thy house. Walk close to us. May we be attuned to even the whisper of our Lord's still small voice. We'll give You the praise. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. And all the people said, Amen.
Our Father, we thank Thee once again for the good working of divine grace in our lives. The many evidences that we see around us that Thou art constantly fulfilling Thy word, causing things to work together for good, effecting Thy will. We thank Thee for the assurance that then comes that Thou wilt continue to perform Thy work. And as each day comes and goes, we have confidence that Thou wilt be in that day, that Thou wilt guide events and affairs, and above all, guide our lives, for we are in Thy hands. We commit ourselves to Thee and to Thy daily keeping, Thy daily provision, the working out of Thy will in our lives. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. God bless you as you go today.